a Rayo Original Podcast.
Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation.
From Greatest Hits Radio,
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
It was only the vicar introducing you again to another number one podcast that stopped Matt explaining how he should be wearing a gold jacket with his initials.
Yes, on like Roger Federer did back in the day, didn't he?
Yes.
So, yeah.
And
yeah.
Holly was suggesting that maybe you wouldn't.
Maybe
pull
I couldn't
that off.
Carry it off, but how wrong she was, because I totally can.
No,
carry
absolutely
off.
Not.
Totally can.
No. I'd like to see it.
Yeah, there you go. Suze would like to see it, Holly. What do you say to that?
I don't think you'd look good.
Yes,
in that.
I think I
think
would.
We could just borrow one from Martin Fry out of ABC because yes. He must have lots.
He's still got those, hasn't he? Still using them. Good
okay.
for him.
So yeah. So if we get a gold lamé jacket
with Matt my initials on,
Matt is the one who has to wear it, and no one else.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's enough of that. As you can tell, Susie, Matt, and Holly are all here, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We're going to be stopping at the parish notice board shortly for all the latest notices and five-star reviews where Matt puts on silly voices for no reason than the fact he hasn't read it before, so he just takes it slowly to cover the
Makes
fact.
It even better, I think, doesn't
Sight
it?
Sight reading, it's called.
Yes, right.
We'll also head to the not-for-broadcast section and all the confessions that made it onto Drive Time this week, including Max's toilet sale. He'll have to go. Colin the carpet criminal's botched job. Gotta crawl to the ugly bug ball. Janny's confession. It's a fisherwoman's blues. But we start with Andrew's RAF police confession. Cuddle up, baby. Cuddle up tight.
Simon Mayo's confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's confession comes from Andrew as a PG certificate. I think that's about right. Father Simon, Brother Matthew, Sister Susie and Mother Supreme Holly, my name is Andrew, although it isn't. And I wrote to you last year to confess how I persuaded my wife to walk to our car whilst we were on holiday in Jersey. Since then, I've reflected deeply on my past and I've realised that on reflection, there are other things that I've done wrong in the past. You surprise us not at all, Andrew. Back in the late 1980s, I served in the Royal Air Force as a police officer, a bit like Jack Reacher was a military policeman. I was just like that.
Just like him,
Sure you were, Andrew. Alongside our normal duties on the base, we would regularly patrol the perimeter roads to ensure that all was well with the world and the communists weren't trying to infiltrate our top secret base. I think Andrew's lost touch with reality at this point. Though these were the 80s, you know, there was a Cold War.
It was true, wasn't it?
At the time, the vehicle of choice for the RAF police... Now, get this. See, this is important work. You're in the police for the RAF.
Yeah,
and their vehicle of choice, a green Vauxhall Chevette Estate.
Oh, good.
It was dependable enough, but hardly a thing of beauty. You can therefore imagine our excitement when we learned that we were about to receive brand new black Ford Escort Estates, complete with blue lights, a siren, and a roof-mounted spotlight. To a young RAF policeman, this was the equivalent of being handed the keys to the Batmobile, as you can imagine. One of our regular nighttime duties was to patrol the roads surrounding the base. Along these roads were numerous secluded picnic areas and parking spots where young couples would often gather late at night to play an enthusiastic game of Cluedo.
Oh, no.
Of course they would, yeah.
To help pass the long evening shifts, we developed what seemed at the time to be a harmless bit of fun. We would switch off every light on our vehicle and quietly creep up into one of these secluded areas in our completely black Ford Escort. Once we were close enough, we would simultaneously activate the headlights, the spotlight, the blue lights and the siren. The effect was immediate and dramatic. On more than one occasion, participants in these midnight games of Cluedo would exit their vehicles with remarkable speed, occasionally forgetting important items of clothing.
Oh, dear.
Because they were obviously, they had shed them and for some reason
for
or
some
another,
reason.
They had to leave the scene and they'd forgotten them.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Having successfully startled the players, we would switch everything off again, silently disappear into the darkness and continue our patrol as if nothing had happened. Mm-hmm. We knew, of course, that our behaviour was somewhat questionable. However, we also felt fairly confident that no official complaints would be forthcoming.
You're back,
After all, explaining why you were playing Cluedo in a picnic area at midnight might raise a few questions of its own. But looking back now, more than 40 years later, I realised that our jolly japes may have caused a certain amount of distress, and for that I ask forgiveness. Curiously, my guilt is not directed towards the majority of the Cluedo enthusiasts we startled over the years. No, it is directed towards one particular participant whom we unexpectedly illuminated one evening, who was my boss.
What?
If he had chosen the conservatory with his lead piping, all would have been well.
Come on.
But he didn't, so it wasn't. Needless to say, the incident was never spoken of again. Yours repentantly, Andrew, but not really. Well, I mean, I suppose if you've just got an exciting new kind of Batmobile car, you want to use it to full effect, but creeping up on people who are just sharing a game of Cluedo and rattling the dice, I don't think that's, maybe that's not fair. So, what do you say, Suze?
Well, Andrew, wasn't he supposed to be working? I feel like that's what maybe I need to highlight is, shouldn't there have been better things to do with your time? Mm-hmm. And also, just don't need to put the spotlight on as well as the headlights. That's just, no one needs to see that. You knew it was questionable yourself. And although very, very funny, I can't believe you found your boss. So I just can't forgive you. For
Jack Reacher
reasons.
Wouldn't have done that, I don't think.
Well, we don't know, do
better
we?
Better things to be doing.
Brother Matthew.
I'm going to forgive. I mean, you've got to point the finger somewhat at the people deciding to, you know, play Cluedo right next to an RAF base. Really? I mean, there's a good chance someone's going to be coming round.
On patrol?
Yeah, exactly. They're going to have patrols, aren't they? What were you expecting? What was the boss doing?
Yes.
The boss? Right, I mean, you know.
He presumably signed off on the car in the first place.
Or maybe find a hotel, because they also stage Cluedo events.
Do they?
So, hi, Buzz, so I understand.
Better get a travel log.
Yes. So, for all of those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
Okay.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
I do wonder, though, whether the RAF boss, not the RAF, the Air Force.
The head of the thing, yes.
The head of the thing. Maybe he wanted to be found out.
Oh, he wanted to be found. Ooh. He knew what he was doing was wrong and he wanted to be found.
Mm. Yes.
Or there's something going on.
So he then had to break it to the other person who he was playing Cluedo with.
Yes.
That, sadly, we've now been discovered, so we can never see each other again.
Oh, right. So it was a ploy.
Yes.
So that's his way of getting out
end
of it.
End the Cluedo playing relationship by
what, by your
being
colleagues
discovered.
All... catching you. That seems like
yes.
a bad idea.
Well, why? No accounting for taste, Holly. I mean, no, we're not here to judge, are we? Except we are.
Why would you go to that knee, that far extent?
Also, Cluedo really has to be played between four or five people, doesn't it?
searching for the words.
Traditionally,
you're
actually,
right. It does.
Well, it has to be three or more.
Three or more.
Yeah,
see?
Three or more.
Yeah,
because you'd know that you were the. Yeah, I'm not going to get into that.
Okay. So anyway, just pointing that out. Anyway,
yes. Good.
So complete forgiveness on the people's verdict, including this one, which made Matt do one of his silly voices again.
And Kath says, totally forgiven. Even as an enthusiastic mobile Cluedo player in my youth, this is hilarious. Every player knows there is a high chance of being caught at some point.
That is probably true. That was your vicar voice.
There was a lot of voices going on there. What range. Well done, Matt.
No.
The winner.
It's the caught at some point.
At some point.
There's so many things going on
there is, isn't
there?
Like, I think you're so versatile. That's
so versatile.
Thing.
So right on.
Yeah.
So right, yeah.
Cluedo with three or more people. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Now it's time to turn to the parish notice board. Matt, what reviews have you noticed?
Well, I've noticed a lot of reviews. All of them five stars, though. Five stars, says Shannon. Love it. Thee is just the best podcast. Not a great start, Shannon. I listen to it with my son, and it's great to have something we both enjoy. All the team are fab. Not just Matt.
Yes.
That's right,
yeah.
Shannon.
Yeah.
Because the other ones are also okay. Harry says five. Five giant stars.
These are all real named people.
They are really well. I listen to this podcast on my way home from work. It helps me unwind from a tough day at the office. Agree with all of Matt's verdicts. Don't we all deserve forgiveness? That's right. Well done, Harry.
Why do you put the patronising voice?
It's not a patronising voice. It's a real voice. And Emma says, just a joy. Five stars. I've been a fan of Confession since the early days. But this is my first review. I would give it more than five stars. A billion. isn't enough. Keep up the fab work, team.
I like
Even
how
a billion.
If there's ever a spelling error, Simon just glosses over that.
If they want to spell like that, then that's how it's getting read out. Well done. Don't talk down. That's my. That's always been my philosophy.
Yes. Is that right?
Yes, it is. Philosophy. I was just searching for the word.
So if you're going to send in a 5-star review, you better make sure that all the spelling and the grammar is correct.
Correct. Mm. Yes, yes.
Or Matt will read it out
as you've read it. Quite right. As Watson it should all. Be. Yeah.
Susie philosophy. Has also found something entertaining from the Board of Notices.
I have. I've got an email from Jenny who says, "Dear Sanctimonious Simon and the Confessions Crew."
Right, okay.
What? Mm.
Sanctimonious isn't great, is it really?
No. And Magnificent Matt.
Magnificent, that's fine. Yeah, lovely. Makes it even better. Brilliant.
I'll just read the paper.
Thought you might like this 5-star review for my son Henry, a.k.a. HDog17. Definitely not a bot. We've been really focusing on creative writing recently at home, and every week it's been a real push to get him to sit down and write. But this week I suggested a review of the Confessions podcast, and it was the easiest task I've set him. So here is his review. Podcast review. The Confessions podcast is a hilarious weekly podcast that recaps all of the week's confessions from Greatest Hits Radio. The cast of the Confessions include the one and only Simon Mayo, the host.
Hello. Yes.
Brother Matt.
Yes.
Brother from another gutter.
Correct.
Sister Holly, Tat Lady.
That's what she is.
Tat Lady. That also sounds. I'm coming out of this very well. I just wanted to point that out. Magnificent. But Tat Lady,
I like
I'm going to say.
Lady is spelled IE.
Yeah.
IE. Tat Lady.
Yeah. You're just saying what Matt does. Wow. You're just pointing out
how dare you, Holly? How dare you?
And Sister Susie in charge.
Yes.
Cameos are done by Dawn French from The Vicar of Dibley.
Nice. Yes.
The podcast always follows the same structure. First of all, they make a joke saying how good it is.
Hint of criticism.
I think there is. I'm spreading myself for something, not very good.
We are rated the best podcast of all time.
Yes.
And then they go into Monday's confession. After that, it's the parish notice board where Matt reads out lots of reviews about how good he is.
Yes.
Then Susie reads out a tat request and Holly decides if they are worthy of some tat. Then it's the not for broadcast section where Simon reads out without reading the unnecessary, inappropriate details. After that, it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday confession before the secret code phrase, which you tweet on Blue Sky. I give confessions 5 billion stars.
That's
very nice. Good.
Well done.
I like that.
Yeah.
Jenny carries on. We don't need any tat. We've already got 2 mugs from him confessing he peed in his own mouth.
What? Sorry.
I don't remember that. It was by mistake.
It was by mistake. One would hope it's by mistake. Do we remember the circumstances that led to him?
He was young.
I think it was a nappy change situation.
Oh, right. And it's a bit of a thing up in the air. Well done.
But he'd be delighted if you could read this out. # smiley face emoji, danger, danger, high voltage, sick and wrong, Jenny in Oxford.
She's very got good. All the
She has, hasn't she? That was very good. Yeah. I did like that.
Yeah. Okay, so Henry, let me just, I'll play you this, Henry. But they don't want any tat. I wonder, though, if Henry would quite like some tat. Is there anything new?
I know. We maybe need to, we need to sign some more postcards anyway, actually. So maybe we need to send them that. That might be nice.
Yeah, a few postcards. That's fine.
Yeah.
We haven't got around to the car stickers yet, have we? Haven't worked those out.
No.
No one has car stickers anymore, do they?
Yes, they do. They have car stickers. People have cars, I think. So.
People have cars, I think. You do.
Yes, no, I don't. That's quite right, Holly. Let's get into that.
Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. A couple of mentions to Pam and Polly, Norman Kelly, Ed74, and Lee G. Harrison. Actually, Lee suggested that the code phrase should have been Pooch Portal.
That's true. I should have gone with that.
Who were amongst those who got in touch with the secret code phrase from last week, which wasn't Pooch Portal, but it was boiled sweets all over my body.
Yes.
That's far kind of too long-winded.
Too long-winded.
I wasn't here last week, so I don't know.
You were off.
That's
unusual. Yeah, that never, ever happened.
What are you talking about?
Matt will have a new secret code phrase, which won't be as good as the one that Norman Kelly and Lee G. Harrison suggested.
Yes.
But anyway, it'll be coming up later. Next, then, we have to dive into the confessions marked not for broadcast, because that's what the format dictates,
yes.
As Henry has pointed out. So here we go, Terry. Well, it does sound very annoying that your next door neighbour's dog kept doing a doo-doo on your much loved lawn, but that doesn't necessarily make it okay to scoop them all up into a bag over a number of weeks and then leave the whole lot on your neighbour's front doorstep. Ooh. The smell alone made people gag, and it's not okay for a tea time show. I guess there was just slightly too much.
It was very graphic.
Shooting himself in the foot there with, because you'd be accumulating all this dog poo and keeping it in your house.
Is shooting yourself in the foot the same as weeing in your mouth?
Is that all happening? It feels like shooting, you're doing that deliberately, aren't you? Whereas weeing in your mouth, no one really tries to do that. Apart from, you know, those two-do parties that none of us go to.
Oh, no.
So, yes. Glad. Let's bring it back to the dog mess. Yes, keeping it all in your house. I don't agree with that. No.
Right. Also, Gordon, vomiting on your best mate's floor after a night out is gross. What makes it even worse is that rather than cleaning it up, you just moved a mat to cover it all. It wasn't uncovered for weeks and had started to grow its own mould.
Wow. How has no one smelled that?
I wonder if the mould that grows from vom actually might have healing properties.
Let's all try that.
No. I'd be putting it straight in the bin.
No, yeah.
Just a thought. It might be a new super drug.
I can't believe no one... there's no way you don't smell that the instant you walk into the room.
I think it was a student house.
Yeah, wow. Kind of, my student house is pretty smelly. I'd still smell, you know, vom on someone's carpet.
You had a massive thing of ketchup that no one was allowed to
I did.
Use,
they obviously. Quite right. Glad for you brought that up again, Holly. Yeah. And my squash, that was also used. And but still not bitter about it, so it's fine.
Okay.
Time to move on.
Hey, we're moving on, though, apparently.
That actually did make the cut. And we joined Max, who should really have listened to his wife in this confession. He'll have to go.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession comes from Max. It's slightly distasteful and will make it like 12, maybe, something like that. Simon, Matt, Holly, Susie in the team. Says Max, I never intended to reveal this story to anyone, but following a previous confession I had shared with the Greatest Hits Drive Time Inquisition, I thought it was time for honesty. I mentioned to my wife that I contacted your program begging for forgiveness for a previous misdemeanor. Her eyes flared as the colour drained from her face. She took a deep breath before saying, "You didn't tell them about the French trip, did you?" I reassured her that under no circumstances would I ever let anyone know about that story, certainly not the GHR team, because there might be some other people listening. Well, Simon, I think my conscience must finally be cleared, whatever you said to your wife.
Yeah.
The summer of 1989, my wife and I decided to go on a road trip to France in our little red Fiat Uno. We had a fabulous time touring the country for 2 weeks. At the end of the holiday, we once again crossed the channel back to Blighty, driving along the M2 and onto the M25 towards the M11. We had stopped on the M2 to fill up with petrol, and Doris, we'll call my wife for legal reasons as I can't afford a divorce, asked if I wanted to use the facilities before our next stop.
Yeah,
and
well
I
done.
Declined.
Nice reminder.
Yeah, but I said no. Had I taken the time to spend a penny, this confession would not be necessary. But I didn't, and so it is. Once we saw the signs for the M11, I began to feel a little pressure from my bladder. I was confident that once we got onto the A1, we could stop. But unfortunately, and to our complete surprise, the traffic came to a halt about half a mile from the M11. At this point, Doris noticed that I was fidgeting and squirming in the driver's seat. She asked what was up, and I confessed that I should have gone when we stopped for fuel, and now I was desperate to relieve myself. Everyone who has tried to make this calculation and then pulled up and into a traffic jam will know exactly what Max is thinking about here. I began to scan the back seats of our little Fiat in search of a solution or something to contain a solution, maybe. Mm. I spotted a 1.5-litre bottle of Appleade that was almost completely empty, almost. By some stroke of luck, the plastic bottle was sporting a wider neck than your average container for fizzy drinks.
It's all good news so far.
Why, that's relevant. I reached into the back and retrieved the bottle. Doris gave me a look that has remained etched on my face for almost 40 years. "You're not going to do that." It was probably the most pointless thing she could have said. What was the alternative? I unscrewed the top placing it on the centre of the steering wheel before handing the bottle to Doris. I then loosen the knot from my tracksuit bottoms, slipping them past my bottom to my knees.
Well, we don't need to get into the technicals now, really.
Yeah. The rest, I'm sure you can imagine.
Yeah, there we go.
Once business had been completed,
yes,
and my bladder was back to its original shape, I handed the three-quarters full bottle to Doris so I could pull my trackies back up. She held the bottle as if it contained nitroglycerin.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
As the whole process had required both our full attention, we hadn't noticed that the traffic had started to move. The car behind us beeped his horn and I immediately pulled away. Unfortunately, the jolt had dislodged the top from its perch on the steering wheel, which fell to the floor under the pedals. We had to drive for what seemed like forever before reaching the green signs to the A1. But soon, we saw a sign showing, ironically, a large capital P, half mile. I pulled over, bringing the car to a standstill. Doris was sweating profusely, still holding the bottle firmly with both hands. I opened the door, leaning to retrieve the bottle top. I went to the passenger door, opening it in order to secure the contents of the bottle, and I turned to look for a bin in which to dispose of the bottle. I had driven to the far end of the lay-by in order to achieve an air of privacy. The bin was in the centre of the lay-by and I could see it had not been emptied recently. Oh. Doris said there was a blue plastic bag in the back and I should place it in there. I did as I was instructed and retrieved the bag. As I removed it, a baguette fell to the ground. I looked round and noticed a young man, a hitchhiker, standing at the entrance to the lay-by, holding a sign which said, "The North!" I smiled at him nervously and put the baguette back in the bag along with the bottle, the Appleade bottle, three quarters full, as you might remember. I walked slowly to the bin and set the bag down next to it. Again, I looked at him and smiled and pointed down at the bin.
What?
I wish to beg forgiveness, not from my wife, but I'm begging forgiveness from the young man because as I rejoined the A1... I looked in the rearview mirror to see him picking up the bag and waving to me and giving me a big thumbs up for what he had interpreted as an act of generosity and kindness in leaving him a gift of food and drink.
No.
And so therefore, I'm afraid the die is cast, Max, as you can tell. I did say it was distasteful.
Yeah.
As far as Susie's concerned, I think she's, you know, it's not going to look good, Max, but, you know, let's see what happens.
Well, no, it made me feel a bit sick, if I'm honest, Max. Like, how old are you, Max? Like, I'm potty training my toddler at the moment, and you always go for a tactical wee before you leave the house.
Tactical
if
wee.
If you make a stop, just you might not feel like you want to go, but once you're sat there, maybe you'll have one, and that will save you squirming in your seat when you're in the journey. I just can't believe you didn't know that. And an Appleade bottle.
An Appleade bottle had a wider top. I didn't know that. Did you know that, Matt?
No, anyway. I didn't. We all know it now, don't we?
What's your message? What would you say for Max?
I'm going to forgive, but I mean, I was with Max all the way until he points at the bottle. Why are you pointing to the bottle with the man? Because he's obviously going to think that's for you. So and why has he left him a baguette as well? Doesn't make any sense at all. But, you know, he had to go, didn't he? Didn't know there was going to be a traffic jam on the A1. Who'd have thought that's never happened before? So, you know, I mean, all those things coming together.
Yes.
But he found a solution with the Appleade. But amazing that it was Appleade, wasn't it? Because it really was unfortunate that he definitely would have thought that was Appleade in that bottle. You know, everything's okay. And I'm sure as soon as he got anywhere near that liquid, he realised what was going on.
Yes, I think so.
I thought you were a bit weird. So for all those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
Saint or sinner? Find them all on Simon Mayo's Confessions podcast.
That was a very long
one. Even for me, that went on for a long time.
There were so many clauses in that sentence.
Yeah, yes. No, I started looking through my phone halfway through that one. Mind. Well done, though. Great thinking.
What?
On the
whatever verdict. It was you
yes,
said.
Yeah.
Anyway, coming up, we're going to join Colin the carpet criminal for his confession, got a crawl to the ugly bug ball. But first, it's Jenny's confession, Fisherwoman's Blues.
Confess all. Simon Mayo's Confessions podcast.
Jenny sends in today's confession. That's Jenny, not Infantino. This is Jenny.
Right, I see.
Someone else.
Yeah.
Simon and team, I feel the time has finally come to unburden my soul. At the grand age of 62, I must confess to a crime that took place when I was a naive 14 or 15-year-old schoolgirl. Every single morning on the way to senior school, my routine was set in stone. I would call in at my friend Anne's house. She lived directly opposite the school gates, which meant we could maximise our gossiping time right up until the first bell rang.
Yes.
Very useful to have a friend like that. Now, Anne's pride and joy was her tropical fish tank. It was a spectacular, shimmering underwater kingdom filled with angelfish, sharks, guppies. Sharks?
Sharks?
Baby sharks.
Well, they grow into big sharks.
Guppies, and my absolute favourite, tiny little neons. To give them their full title, the neon tetra is one of the most popular tropical fish in the world because they are so vibrant, shiny, and full of life. They were barely the size of a fingernail, darting around like little flashes of bright red and electric blue light. One fateful morning, I walked in to find Anne on her hands and knees in front of the tank. She had just finished giving it a deep clean and was in the middle of a roll call. There were supposed to be exactly 10 neon fish, but she was panicking.
Oh, no.
Naturally, I dropped to my knees beside her to help. Now, Simon, I don't know if you or the team have ever tried to conduct a census on a school of tiny, frantic fish. No. But it is an absolute nightmare. Yes. They just do not sit still or swim still. We counted. There were 9. We counted again. We got 9. We counted again. We got 9.
Got 9 again.
We counted again.
Let's do it again, yeah.
Oh, dear.
However many times we counted,
yes. Oh, right.
It was always 9.
Okay.
They were darting in and out of the classic aquarium paraphernalia, weaving past the sunken pirate wreck,
yes,
doing laps around the stone castle and hiding behind the plastic treasure chest that periodically opened to blast bubbles at them. Fun time being a fish, huh?
Yeah.
Not to mention the swaying silk foliage. Where are you, little neon, we whispered. Where are you? Before, I don't know if you had pathetic voices like that,
no.
But anyway. Before we could solve the mystery, the authoritative voice of Anne's mother boomed through the house. Right, you two, get off to school before you're both late.
Oh, well. She sound like your man.
Well, instant.
Yeah.
It's just a natural voice.
Oh, right, okay.
We scrambled to our feet, grabbed our bags and bolted for the door. But as I crossed the threshold into the fresh morning air, I felt a strange, distinct sensation on my leg. Remember, Simon, this is the era of the mandatory school skirt. No trousers for us. I looked down, and there, stuck firmly to my bare kneecap, was a perfectly flat, squashed, but still undeniably bright red and blue little neon fish.
Oh, no.
The 10th fish. The missing fish number 10.
Oh, dear.
The horror dawned on me. When we had both been kneeling on the carpet, filtering through the artificial seaweed, the 10th little neon must have leapt from the bucket in a desperate bid for freedom, only to meet its demise under my teenage kneecap.
Oh, dear.
I froze. I looked at Anne, who was happily walking ahead of me. I looked at my knee. I simply didn't have the heart to tell her that her beloved pet was currently serving as a temporary kneecap accessory.
Ooh.
It was a squashed fish. So with a swift yet guilty motion, whatever that looks like, I flicked the poor little thing off my leg and into her mum's pristine front garden.
Oh.
Where it lay forever.
Wow, not forever.
Dead. Mm. Till it was eaten by a bird. I never said a word. I must admit, when I got home and tried to tell my parents and brothers, I couldn't get the words out because I was laughing so hard.
Yes.
The sheer absurdity of it, Simon. Anyway, decades have passed, but the guilt remains. When I eventually got married, I bought my very own tropical fish tank, and as a lifelong penance, every single neon tetra I have ever owned has been named Anne. I must now formally apologise to Anne, her mother's front garden, and of course the departed spirit of neon number 10, if indeed fish have spirits. Do you think they do?
I'm sure they do.
Do you think they do?
Maybe they
do. Do fish have spirits?
I do. Everyone has a spirit, right?
I've got no idea. I'm just interested.
I think so.
I don't think fish do. What about worms?
Yeah.
Worms.
I'm
going to
say everybody. Oh, yeah. Why not?
Okay. Why not, indeed?
Okay.
Let's get into this. Let's spend half an hour. Yeah. Open up the phone lines. That's what I think.
With deepest apologies, my head hanging in total unreserved shame. That's Jenny. Okay, well, I mean, that's a bit of a shocking story.
It is very,
What do you say, Suze?
Well, Danny, it was a while ago, and I do feel sorry for her, but surely you would have felt it when you knelt on it. Wouldn't you have realised a bit sooner? And I think she should have disposed of it a bit further away than the garden.
Do you think?
But, so I'm not going to forgive.
Okay, Brother Matthew.
Well, I personally think that neon fish knew the risks. It was making the bid for freedom, and it knew it was hoping that the carpet was going to be enough to sustain it. Didn't know it was going to get knelt on by a 14-year-old girl, and that was going to be the end of it, but it knew the risks, and it decided, well, I'd fancy my chances on the carpet rather than with the pirate ship.
And also, so, I have a spirit, so
I have that spirit as well that's going to sustain me when I get outside, or maybe I'll get eaten by a bird. But we don't know, do we? Because of the spirit thing. So, for all of those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
Hilarious revelations from a new generation of sinners. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession comes from, it's signed Colin the Carpet Criminal.
Okay.
Colin says, Father Simon in the assembled congregation of the morally flexible. Well, that's more true of some than others.
Mm-hmm.
I come before you today to confess a sin committed some 42 years ago when I was a young apprentice joiner, full of enthusiasm, confidence, and possessing absolutely no understanding of life or its consequences. The family home, I had a workshop in the garden. It was a wonderful workshop, except for one minor flaw. It had no electricity.
Oh.
Every time I wished to create something magnificent, I first had to unravel what felt like 3 miles of extension cable from the house. Naturally, I decided this situation required a permanent solution. Near the fuse board was a conveniently placed socket. Near the socket was an air brick. Near the air brick was my workshop. In my youthful mind, these facts combined to form what I believe was a stroke of engineering genius. All I needed to do was lift a corner of the carpet, remove a floorboard, run an extension lead beneath the floor, out through the air brick, and into the workshop.
Simple, yeah.
Permanent power. Yeah. Problem solved. And after all, I was a first-class apprentice joiner. What could possibly go wrong? The answer, Father Simon, was the carpet. The carpet had only recently been fitted and was secured with staples apparently forged by the devil himself. As I attempted to lift the edge, it resisted. I pulled harder. It resisted more. I pulled with the determination of a young man who desperately wanted electricity. And suddenly, it gave way. Unfortunately, it gave way by tearing several rather obvious large holes along the edge. At this point, a sensible person might have stopped. A sensible person might have considered the consequences. I, however, was focused on my workshop. The carpet problem was a matter for future Colin. Having achieved my electrical objective, I put everything back as best I could and hoped for the best. Some days later, my mother discovered the damage. After a thorough examination, she reached the only conclusion possible. Something has eaten the carpet, she said.
Yes.
Now, Father Simon, this was not a conclusion that I'd suggested. I merely stood nearby and allowed events to unfold. As the carpet was relatively new, my mother contacted the carpet shop to complain. This was a carpet that had cost hundreds of pounds. At this point, my heart dropped into my boots. Surely the shop would send an expert. Surely the expert would take one look and declare, "This carpet has not been eaten. It's been attacked by an apprentice joiner with more ambition than skill." The shop instead arranged an inspection, and I considered confessing, I considered running away. Instead, I chose the coward's path and said absolutely nothing. The inspection day arrived while I was at work. When I returned home that evening, I nervously asked about the outcome. "The inspector isn't sure," my mother said. "They're sending a sample away for testing." Father Simon, I can still remember the feeling. Not only had I failed to escape justice, but science itself had now become involved. For several days, I lived in fear. Somewhere, I imagined men in white coats were peering through microscopes, preparing evidence that would expose me as the true culprit. And then came the phone call. The carpet shop had reached its verdict. "Yes," they said. "The carpet had indeed been eaten by something, probably before installation, whilst in storage. Carpet moths, probably. Carpet beetles, possibly. Also, silverfish that graze on starchy glues and the backings used to hold carpets together. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Wow.
Right.
Well, it's true. Yeah. That's who you can blame. Blame the silverfish. They would therefore replace the carpet free of charge. Father Simon, I was stunned. The carpet was replaced. My mother was vindicated. The experts had spoken and they were wrong. I, the actual destroyer of the carpet, walked free. So today I do not seek forgiveness from my mother, who quite reasonably believed that she was the victim of a carpet-eating menace. Nor do I seek forgiveness from the experts who somehow concluded that my handiwork was the work of wildlife. No, Father Sam, my thoughts are with the poor carpet shop owner who endured the full force of my mother's complaint and rage, paid for an entirely new carpet himself, and never knew that the real culprit was a teenage apprentice joiner trying to electrify a garden workshop. And here is the truly shameful part. For 42 years, I've carried this secret. I never confessed to my mother. I never confessed to my father, God rest his soul. I never confessed to the carpet shop. In fact, until this very moment, I have never told a single soul what really happened to that carpet. For 42 years, an innocent warehouse pest has carried the blame for my actions. The shop has long since disappeared, and I can only hope its proprietor enjoyed a long and peaceful retirement, blissfully unaware that the real culprit was not moths, mice, or a warehouse pest, or a silverfish, but one overconfident apprentice joiner armed with an extension lead, a crowbar, and an unrealistic belief in his own abilities. After 4 decades of silence, I placed myself at the mercy of the collective. I mean, you have to say, the fact that the shop is no longer there could well be Colin's problem, because a carpet is a very expensive thing, and maybe this was the final domino, or the first domino, that set in chain financial catastrophe. What do you say, Suze?
Indeed, exactly what I was thinking, Colin. Maybe your misdemeanor was the start of that downfall of that carpet shop, and you know, you just can't say. It might have been, who knows. Poor carpet shop owner. And also, danger, literally high voltage, that you just shouldn't be doing any of that stuff. Sounds very, very scary to me. Should have been glad that it was just the carpet and not you, Colin, but I'm not going to forgive you, I'm afraid.
I think, well, maybe we could do a bit of this.
It is.
I mean, it would have been, yes, because he was trying to get electricity through a brick and under a carpet, and that was crazy, Matthew.
Well, I'm going to say, if a carpet shop is going to be brought down by one piece of carpet, then it's not a very good carpet shop and was probably going to go under anyway.
Do you think?
I think so. Also, there was a lot going on with this carpet, wasn't there, with all the silverfish? We hadn't thought of that, had we? And it may be with the silverfish were involved, but it just turned out to be him with the crowbar. But maybe with the silver... We can't discount it, that's
You're
what I'm saying.
You're bringing Cluedo into this.
Yes. So it could be that as well. Yes, for all of those reasons, because of the silverfish, never forget them, I'm going to forgive.
Confess All. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
What's he got to do with them?
The silverfish.
Yes.
That's what they decided was the problem with the carpet.
Mm.
The carpet shop said it must be silverfish, and maybe the silverfish were involved. We don't know. Don't know have all the
proper
facts,
name,
do we?
Lepsimar... Saccharanium.
Saccharanium, I think.
That's the silverfish.
Something to do with sugar?
Primitive wingless insects in the Zygentoma family.
Zygentoma family, I think, yeah. Mm.
That's where you find the silverfish. This is such a
so good. Yeah, they all love
so
it.
Clever.
But they're your carpet, and that's really part of the problem.
Well, I thought it was just moths that ate carpets.
Silverfish, obviously, as well.
Silverfish when it's outside, isn't it? Silverfish. That's what you've got to look out for.
In the fish pond?
No. The silverfish in your... it was in his hut, wasn't it?
What?
Silverfish in the hut. You don't get silverfish in the house.
Anyway, mixed reaction on the people's verdict. Silverfish again. Another one that brought out one of Matt's lovable voices.
And John says, forgiven. Clearly, the carpet installer was the cause of the underlying problem.
That was your comedy voice
that
you were using.
Very good.
Okay. Who knew you had one?
Underlaying problem.
And that brings us to the end of this week's podcast. Yes. If you've got a tale and you would like to send it to us, that would be ever so nice. I sounded a bit desperate. Not desperate at all.
Yeah,
if you think you've got a good story, send it to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Over to Brother Matt, who might not have thought of a secret code phrase for this week.
No, but I have a secret code phrase for this week, which is hi-ho silverfish. Hi-ho silverfish is this week's secret code phrase.
If you've made it this far, you can post that particular phrase on Threads, Blue Sky, Instagram, I think Matt's still on. You still on X?
Still on X. I'm still hanging on. It's getting pretty awful there, by
yes,
the way. Anyway.
Yes. Well, what can you do about that?
What? Well, I'm going to be doing something over the weekend, and you'll find out.
Is that right?
Yes.
What?
Got a big plan.
Ooh. Are you going to
yes.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Just you watch. See what happens.
But I can't because I'm not on it.
No, you're not on it. No, no.
I've taken a moral stand.
Good for you. Quite a lot of other people have taken that moral stand as well.
Are you going to climb the stand?
Am I going to be climbing the stand? Well, the thing that I'm going to do is going to be even bigger than the stand. So,
ooh. What?
Burn your phone?
Burn my phone.
And the stake?
No.
But you're not even on Insta.
My phone and the stake? No, I'm not on Insta. Not part of the hashtag blessed generation, unfortunately. But they're all welcome to it.
Anyway, remember to leave us a 5-star review.
Sunrises.
Don't forget to share the podcast drinks. With a friend in the bath at work. We'll be back next week with another batch of tip-top confessions. Until then, from Sister Susie.
Bye-bye.
Sister Holly.
Stay hydrated. Yeah, that's important.
Actually.
In this heat. Yeah.
Brother good, Matthew.
Good. Yes. Bye.
Yeah, that sounded very flippant.
Did it?
Yes.
But it was spot on, wasn't it? Again, by me. Hence the
reviews. So Matt
reviews.
Says goodbye again?
Yes, goodbye.
There you go.
Said it twice now.
Thank you for listening.
Unbelievable.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.